I do want to give you a simple message with a lesson here, and then we'll dismiss. And really, the interesting thing I just thought about is that the theme of the message is based on the scripture, Christ setting us free. And we're going to preach real quick and then set you free for the day. So, you know, you could take that for what it's worth. But I'm going to read here quickly out of John chapter 8. And I'm going to read verses here. Let's see where we want to get started here. Probably in verse number 31. John chapter 8 and verse 31, if you follow along in your Bibles. I think Brother Dana's got it on the board. I realize the tables and everything's kind of scattered around. Bible says, Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let me read that verse again. It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in his house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Verse 36 again says, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let us pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your goodness, grace. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done today. And God, we're truly blessed by everything today. And God, our hearts are full. Everything else, our stomachs are full. We've been blessed, overwhelmed. And God, it's because of your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ here talking to his disciples. You know, we talked earlier about being free, having freedom. And an interesting thing that Christ says here, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So freedom oftentimes is a perception. You know, for example, someone might say, well, you know, if you're in prison, we're in Florence. This is a prison town. And in case you didn't know, there's a lot of jails and prisons around here. But some would say, you know, you are in prison there. But yet in Sunday school, we've already been talking about the fact that Joseph was in prison. And the Bible said twice that the Lord was with him. And that God prospered him even while he was in jail. You heard my comment earlier, if they get to the place where they say you can't preach and teach the Word of God, then I'm just going to open up a prison ministry. And if that's where God wants me to be, then that's what I'm going to do. How many other times throughout the New Testament, we've seen it in the Old Testament, example of Joseph being in prison. How many times in the New Testament do we actually see some of the apostles? Apostle Paul himself, in fact, therefore, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. How many times did he say that? So a lot of it is about perception. And even when you talk about maybe the inmates that are imprisoned here in Florence or the surrounding area here around Pinal County, you say, well, they're in prison, they're in jail. But then somebody might say, well, you know, if you think about it, yes, they're doing their duty to serve justice for a crime that they've committed, but yet they're housed, they've got air conditioning. Except for Joe Pyle, remember he put him up in those tents and he didn't give him air conditioning. His philosophy was, this isn't the Holiday Inn Express. If you don't like it, don't come back. Amen. But nevertheless, these guys having AC is a blessing in Arizona. Amen. I mean, really, you don't want to go without it. You'll melt away. All right. But they're in prison. They're fed. They got a roof over their head. And their prison today is not like prison used to be, is what I'm trying to say. Okay? I know people that's wandering around the streets that don't have a roof over their head. They certainly don't have any AC, and they don't know where their next meal's coming from. So a lot of that is sort of subjective. So there could be people that are in prison, hear me out, that are more free than people even wandering the streets today, that have more freedom and have more privileges. I want to tell you that there's people, and this is sad, folks, there's people that live in the finest houses in this community. They have good jobs, they drive nice cars, but they're under the bondage of sin. And they don't have any more liberty than the guy who got saved and trusted Jesus as his personal Savior and turned his life around and is doing his time, ready to get out and do something for God. They're more in prison than somebody who's given their heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Now that's what the Word of God says. That's not my opinion. That's not what I think. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But as we read along here, I want you to notice there was some quick lessons that the Lord, and I've got my notes on my phone. I'm not texting, amen. The only way I'd respond is that the Lord sent me a text, all right? And by the way, He did. It's right here. Somebody say amen right there. But there's a lesson on continuance, first of all. Did you notice there He said in verse number 31, if you continue in My Word. You know, sometimes you get to the place in life, you don't know which way to go. Christ broke it down pretty simple. He said, continue My Word. Paul told Timothy in the New Testament, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All right? So there's a lesson on continuance in the Word. Now, the Word is the truth. Jesus literally said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me, in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Sadly, today we're living in a culture that doesn't like to hear the truth. Nobody wants to be responsible for their actions. Amen. People don't want to be accountable. People don't want to take ownership. I've seen people in my family that just want to blame everybody, and they're too busy making excuses and blaming everybody else. But you know what I've come to find out? First of all, none of us are perfect anyway. But if you don't want to take responsibility for your actions, hey, that actually frees you. But people don't want to hear the truth. Can I ask you a question? When you go to the doctor, do you want the doctor to be honest with you? Or do you want him to say, oh, you know, here you are dying of whatever sickness you have. Oh, you look good, honey. Oh, sweetie, you look good. You're going to be okay, when you know that you've got a tragic sickness and it's taking you down. Now, what do you want? Isn't it interesting that we want to go to the doctor, and we expect the doctor to be true and honest with you? Who doesn't want their doctor to be, Doc, give it to me straight. I may not like what you got to say, but I need to hear what you've got to say. If I'm sick, then tell me I'm sick. Amen? If something's wrong with me, Doc, then tell me something's wrong with me. Don't just say that everything's going to be all right. That's His job, is to assess your medical condition and to recommend or prescribe, give you the right treatments to help solve your problem. But isn't it funny when we start to get in the Bible, we come to the house of God and we hear the truth preached, we hear the word of God, and then all of a sudden, it's, I don't like to go to church that preaches like that. Oh boy, that church there, man. I just like to come and feel good about myself. Can I tell you something? Feelings come and go. They're up and down like a roller coaster. Amen. All I'm saying, friend, I'm not trying to be mean and ugly. You know, Paul said, am I your enemy because I speak the truth? I mentioned that earlier. Hey, he also went on to say, speaking the truth in love. I'm not angry. I'm trying to encourage you to continue in the Word, because that's what Jesus said that we need. If you want real freedom, you know, we're celebrating freedom. If you want freedom, then continue into the Word of God. And in fact, that's actually the next thought that we're talking about there. There's a lesson on continuance. Then there's a lesson on evidence of discipleship. You know, there ought to be some character traits in your life that people would be able to look at your life and say they're a Christian. Amen? And that's what Jesus said. Notice what He said. He says, "If in verse 31, if you continue My Word, then you are My disciples indeed." So you know what that's saying? That if you're a follower of Christ, you continue in the Word. Just like when He said, follow Me and I'll make you fishers of men, the thought that I've always had is that if you're following Jesus, you're a fisher of men. So if that's the truth, if you're not a fisher of men, are you a follower of Christ? Think about that with me, church. If you're a disciple of Christ, then you continue in the Word. And that doesn't just mean on Sunday mornings and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We have a duty and responsibility to continue the Word every day. There's a lesson on continuing. There's a lesson on the evidence of discipleship. There's a lesson on freedom that we see there. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I remember several years ago, I had went to the doctor, and the doctor had told me, he said, Mr. Sakaros, if you don't get your diabetes under control, you're going to die a very young man. That hurt, Sister Winnie. It bothered me. I literally left out of the doctor's office that day in tears. But you know what? The message that he had, even though it hurt, actually set me free. Because of that, I was able to get that under control. I'm actually not even on any medicine now. Amen. So because of the message that I heard, that message, before I was always sick and I'm not understanding, why don't I have no energy? Why can't I do this? I went from that, get it off of the medicine. I ran 2 marathons in that time frame. I'm getting back into running shape now. I realize, hey, things happen. I put on a few, all right? But nevertheless, hey, I'm getting back where I know I need to be. But it goes back, and I attribute it, first of all, to the Lord, but thankful for the message that I received, because the message that doctor gave me actually set me free. Because he wasn't afraid to be Fort Worth with me and say, Mr. Skyers, you need to get this under control or you're going to die. And you've got four young children. Why do you want to be MIA? Ooh. Amen? Yes, that hurt me a little bit. But you know what? It helped me. Right. To this day, I still think he's the best doctor I've ever had. Dr. Robert Sharp in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. You ever get over and you're sick, look up Dr. Robert Sharp. Y'all remember that. Write that down. Robert Sharp. Hey, he'll be honest with you. But there's no doubt in my mind that doctor cared about me. That doctor cared about me. So there's a lesson on continuance. There's a lesson on discipleship. There's a lesson on freedom. The Bible literally says the truth shall set you free. Then there's a lesson on bondage. See, they misunderstood what Christ was talking about. They said, well, you know, we're of the seed of Abraham. We've never been slaves. We've never been under bondage. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, spiritual bondage. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, look at what he says. After he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in verse 34, and Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So if you're living a sinful lifestyle, then you're literally under the bondage of sin, is what Jesus is actually saying. He wasn't talking about being a literal slave or a literal bond or literally in prison. No. He's talking about the bondage of sin. So there's a lesson there on what real freedom is. The truth shall set you free. And then there's a lesson on bondage. He's talking about spiritually speaking. The last thing I want to mention, and probably the most important thing, is there's a lesson on everlasting freedom. Verse 35, and if the servant abideth not in his house forever, but the son abideth forever. Verse 36, if the son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. There's no greater freedom that comes as a Christian. You know, people talk about things all the time and they think, well, you know, you're missing out. You don't go do this and you don't go do that. I've never felt like I'm missing out, friend. Because you know what? I've been freed from that. Now, I never said that I was perfect, because I'm not. Church, you know my testimony. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner just like the next guy. But what I'm trying to tell you is the Bible says that true freedom only comes from that Jesus can give you. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be freed indeed. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that's talking about? When you do that and that event happens in your life, that it's almost like, you know, a word that we understand is it's an intervention. Who's heard of an intervention before? You know, maybe there was a family intervention. Maybe somebody had a drinking problem and the family got together and said, hey, we're concerned about this is what's going on. Look at how it's affecting your liver. Look at how it's affecting your life. And there's a family intervention. And then they take that and do something and change their life. Well, that's exactly what Jesus does when we give that life in our heart and confess our sins to Him. It's like a reality check that happens in our life and you're set free. If you do that, exactly, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So the message is simple, friend. The truth shall set you free. You know, again, we're living in a day where it's not popular to speak the truth. It's like you can't be honest with people. I mean, honestly, I've got family that I can't even have a mature conversation with about life because you have to worry about whether they're going to get offended or not. I mean, we can't even talk about whether we like this or like that. I mean, you have to keep it very general. I mean, you have to talk about food. You have to talk about very general things. And even sometimes that's offensive. It's sad that but the reality is, friend, what we need is that we're going to need a good old-fashioned dose of the truth. And there's no greater truth that you'll get from the Word of God, and there's no greater freedom that you'll get except for Christ set you free. That's all I wanted to share with you today, church. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'll give you a moment to maybe do something for the Lord if God's dealing with your heart. And then I'm going to have Roger, I got you, Roger, come up and read something in just a moment. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord. If there be someone here today, Lord, that needs to come forward and God, give their heart over to you, I pray, God, that you would help them to do that. Lord, we'd love nothing more than take a Bible and show them how they can know for sure that they're saved. We thank you for all that you've done today. In Jesus' name, amen. If somebody ever needs to come and talk to me, I'd be happy to go aside. We'd be happy to take you in our office, take the Bible, counsel with you, help you in any way that we can. I tell you, you know, I was talking to somebody before church, and people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I want you to know, church, we care about you, we love you, and we want to help you in any way that we can. And so if you need help, you come and let us know. We'll do everything we can to help you. I'm going to go ahead. We're going to finish up with Roger. Why don't you come, Roger, and get ready to do that. And then we'll be dismissed for the day after Roger's finished up here.
When I was younger, my parents turned me on to Red Skelton. I know most of you heard about him. And he does a skit about the Pledge of Allegiance. And it has been one of my most favorite things. And I found it, and I'm going to read it just like he said it back then. We had just finished reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, and he, Mr. Laswell, the principal of Vincennes High School, called us all together. And he says, boys and girls, I've been listening to you recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems that it has become monotonous to you. Or could it be you do not understand the meaning of each word? If I may, I would like to recite the pledge and give you a definition for each word. I, me, an individual, a committee of one. Pledge, dedicate all of my worldly good to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion. To the flag, our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of freedom. And wherever she waves, there is respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, that means we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided but by imaginary boundaries yet united to a common cause, and that's love of country, of America. And to the Republic, a sovereign state in which power is invested in the representatives chosen by the people to govern. And the government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God. Indivisible, incapable of being divided. With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power for one to live his or her own life without fears, threats, or any sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle and qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. That means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. Now, for this next part, if I could have everybody stand and recite the pledge with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The way he wrote it here is, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. He goes on to say, since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. And as we have seen today, he says, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said, that's a prayer, and that would be eliminated from our schools too? You know, we've already seen them take prayer, take God out of schools. Praise God for the school here. That way young children get the right kind of teaching. And it is sad that the indivisible, we see this country's divided right now, more so than ever before, and it's sad. We need, in my opinion, to get back to where this Pledge of Allegiance was, where God is, nobody takes offense to God. Nobody takes offense to the flag, to the country, and take for granted the freedom that they have. I know I don't. And I hope I have my brothers and sisters standing behind me. Thank you.
Isn't that good? All right, we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer and be dismissed. If we can at least get the food and things put away, and because we can't leave it here, of course, get those things put away and try to get a few things together, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you again for all your help. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for today. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the great reminder that we just received. Thank you for every song that's been sung in the scriptures today. In Jesus' name, amen.